Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And it's that time of the day when K-Fox starts rocking, right? During lunchtime. We go berserk around here. Farley takes over the station. Yo! Well, what's good in your life, huh? Think of some good thoughts today, some positive energies. A lot of people are worried about nothing. Hey, eternity is all that counts. Don't worry about this trivial stuff, folks. You got the rest of eternity to do something creative. So, we are talking about astrology today. Why astrology? Why your certain astrological chart? Today we are going to discuss the astrological effect and the metaphysics behind why we have a certain particular set of planetary configurations when we are born. So I'm going to help try and explain to you why you have a certain chart the way you do. Isn't that special? Isn't that just perfect? Okay. The astrological effect is an issue that I had always considered ever since I first took up astrology. The big question is, why do I have this certain chart? Why am I a Leo? Why did I end up with a Scorpio moon? Why the Libra rising? Why? You know, people get their charts and usually they just accept them. Not me. I question the whole thing. This has everything to do with reincarnation, past life experiences, the eternal soul, and your sum total of eternal experience supposedly prior to this life cycle. What I have found and what I believe and what I have meditated on and studied through my life is I have discovered, to the best of my knowledge, that the reason why we have a certain astrological chart that we have is because it's all karma. It is all karma. Some of it is what we call dharma. Okay, now, let me explain these things to you. Dharma is your duty, okay? That is something that actually you are meant to do. There pretty much are not too many completely soulless husks of people that exist on this planet. Most people have a thread of compassion somewhere in their essence. Some don't. But those of us that do have a thread of compassion, and whether we're in the military or the police or whether we're in politics or whether we're just a philosopher or a teacher or a priest or someone in the clergy, there's many people out there at times in their life or during all their lives where they reach out and do things for others. These are called deeds, and this is also called your spiritual duty. And we call that a dharma, spelled D-H-A-R-M-A. And of course, different philosophies have different definitions. But dharma, what I have found astrologically, is something that you carry with you from lifetime to lifetime, which means if you do enough good for enough people outside of your own selfish desires, then you will come back in the next ensuing lifetime with not only what we call an easier chart, but astrologically the configuration you get will add more luck, more charm, more spirit, more bliss, and more happiness in a non-selfish manner, which means that you should be able to handle life easier and more comfortable than most people. And astrologically, usually, when you have planets in signs that are exalted or in signs they rule, or if you have planets in your chart that pick up from yesterday's show, trines or sextiles on them, we call that dharma. Okay, so when you look at the softer aspects in astrology chart, like say you have a Venus trine Saturn, or a Mars trine Jupiter, or a Sun trine Neptune, or you have a Moon sextile Pluto, or whatever, any of these aspects, trine sextiles are exalted. You know, my friend Arlen's got a Taurus Moon that's exalted. That's very dharmic. In other words, you can earn an easier life mission by doing things in previous lifetimes that absolve karma. So we'd say the less obsessed, the less selfish you would be, then the more of a stable vehicle you might have in the next lifetime. We look at some people and we say to ourselves, gosh, I don't know how I could ever handle that. I know one guy that's gone through 4 open heart surgeries, and I say to myself, heck, you know, I'd be dead. I just would have checked out and went into the light. It's not that big of a deal to me. But some of these people, they put themselves through these missions, and because metaphysically I do believe the universe is perfect, and I do believe that there is a just cause for everything that happens, even though some of it does not seem just, I do believe that there's a big carryover from past lives that if you don't do your homework, you don't fulfill your North Node, if you're not doing your life's mission, your spiritual purpose, if you are a selfish, obsessed, depressed, negative creature, then the universe may seem to close in upon you. And that's why I try to be as good as possible, because I understand these ramifications. And even though many of us like to say, oh, this is my last life, I don't want to come back to Earth anymore, I don't want to incarnate, that's bull. We're talking about eternity here. Different life experiences and different realms of consciousness is what we do throughout eternity. We, as spirits that represent the oneness of God, are involved in a massive creative process that exists in multiple realms. And depending how well you adhere to the balance of this system, the karma of this system, then you are either allowed to graduate above and beyond this realm into a more heavenly state, or you are subject to remain in this realm in a current state, or worse, perhaps, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, or you can actually set back and end up in a lower realm of consciousness where the pain and the anxiety and the lessons are a lot more severe. Now, of course, in the Bible, these realms are classified or identified as permanent, as eternal damnation or punishment. And frankly, that's the way it might feel for some people, because some people might not have learned their lessons, so they would have been subjected to being banished to these realms for thousands of lifetimes until they finally get it down. Then they qualify to come up here, and they end up abusing the heck out of our karmic laws here, and they still don't get it down. Besides the fact we're involved in a massive qualification period right now here between the ages, and the fact that consciousness is shifting like crazy, so many of us are being given the opportunity to be very dharmic and to attain certain spiritual goals and selfless, giving, sharing humanitarian issues. When things happen like the San Francisco earthquake, we are given the opportunity to do our duties by either promoting the need to help those people with the American Red Cross, like I'm doing right now. Send money to the Red Cross in San Francisco. It's that simple, okay? Or just by doing it. That's why I was really honored when I saw President Bush sent $1,000 up there. I thought, my goodness. I prefer understanding that there are people stricken all over the planet, everywhere. I mean, just because the San Francisco quake happened, everybody's attention is focused in San Francisco. But let me tell you something. There's people that are experiencing earthquakes every single minute. Check out the streets outside your home. There's some suffering going on. When you see somebody that's out there that's hurting, you have an opportunity, and not a selfish opportunity, to do a deed, to do your duty, your spiritual duty, by assisting that being, whether it means buying them a lunch, making them dinner, giving them some clothing or some shelter, just handing them some money, period. That's how you get benefit, okay, by helping others and by doing things that are selfless, that do not give you much gain, but give them gain, that help them turn their lives around. On the other hand, many of us are conditioned to be very competitive. Many of us are conditioned to conquer and to dominate and to overcome and manipulate and charm individuals in any situations. Members of your family, your children, your husbands, your wives, your friends, your best friends, people you meet in the street. Many of you out there are salesmen using unethical philosophies, and the world is filled with salesmen out there that would sell you the shirt off their back, telling you it's a $50, $60 shirt when it's worth a buck. You know, it's like everything has a karmical ethic attached to it. And if the motive is not sound, then that's when you create a negative vibration, and that's karma. Now, when you're born with your astrology chart, number one, you find out a lot of things about karma by looking at several factors. Of course, the South Node, which we talked about a couple days ago, will show us our biggest weakness, where we have fallen down in past lives, and our most selfish, obsessed area are what will actually detract us away from our growth and our mission. Number two, and almost the number one at the same time, is what Saturn is. Saturn stays in one sign for 2.5 years. So a whole generation of people that are meant to experience that mission, that lesson that Saturn bestows, like all these babies that are being born right now with Saturn and Capricorn, just like back 30 years ago, are children that are meant to grow up with a life mission concerning a karma of success and obsessed, selfish motives connected to that need for success. Now, a lot of people with Saturn and Capricorn, they leave victims in their wake, including themselves. They suffer too much because being successful is too important. See, wherever Saturn lies, we focus on that area as being the most selfish, obsessed part of our lives. Or part of our lives that might lack balance because in a past life, that was our major area of abuse, a major area we must work off and pay off in this lifetime in order to overcome it. Same with squares and oppositions. I love my squares and oppositions because the squares and oppositions actually send you a spiritual telegram alerting you to these areas of selfishness and deceit and discord and charming and lying and manipulation. So when you look at your astrology chart and you see that you have one planet square another, then that definitely would show a selfishness within the being, within the individual. In other words, a part of yourself, a desire or a need you think you want that you really don't need. Okay? And the opposition is a lot of fun because that's the side of ourself that attracts us and allows us to bind with other people that are so totally wrong for us that in the beginning it might seem nice, but in the long run, in the long result, these people we end up with, and sometimes even the parents we're born to, we feel like we're being thrashed by them. This could be a physical, emotional, mental, even a spiritually damaging experience. So those of you that have oppositions in your chart are going to have a lot more karma because of the challenges you will create in people that really are not necessary. And oftentimes, when we get in a position, like if you have squares, square karma means that you have a problem getting along with yourself. And in order to overcome this negative vibration, what's the obvious choice? To love yourself. To learn how to respect and create a high level of self-esteem in those areas where the squares are identified. It's that simple. So a lot of people with squares in their chart will be self-destructive, depressed, anxiety-ridden, negative, defeatist, could escape into drugs and alcohol, who knows what. Angry, hostile, frightened, hateful people sometimes with squares in their chart. The people with oppositions are people that don't know how to let go of the rattlesnake. It's like holding a rattler by the tail, being bitten over and over again and not letting go. And those people with oppositions, granted, are naturally and normally a lot stronger individuals because they can handle hanging on to the rattler, whereas those of us that don't have oppositions are smart enough to let go. You know, I run away from an experience if it gets a little bit sticky because my quality of life must be high. Whereas people with oppositions, sometimes they will invest their quality of life and their overall state of happiness and bliss just because they think that the end result of a certain situation is going to work out for the best. And oftentimes it doesn't. It just hangs in the negative. Okay, so what happens? The individual goes into a soul review after death and prior to the next ensuing birth. We go into what is called an Akashic state of consciousness. As long as you don't blow your opportunity to go into the light, to the area of self-judgment, which happens just following death from what I hear, some people miss that opportunity to go into the light, and they get trapped on Earth with us in a limbo state where they are non-material, and the only contact they have with anyone is through chakra contact, which is what we call the discarnate entities. But hopefully you will go into the light when you pass from this lifetime, and when you do go into the light, the very first thing you come upon at that point is the Akashic stream of consciousness, which plugs you into your eternal experience as a third-dimensional being, okay? And at that point, the ramifications of all your actions, of all your thoughts, of all your words, of your entire behavior for this particular lifetime become quite evident. And right then, the choice is made as to whether you will incarnate again on Earth or in an alien form, whatever, on another realm in case you blew your Earth experience. And once you make the choice to be on Earth, then right away already, you begin the design of the proper window. You know, just like when we have to shoot a rocket to get it to Jupiter at the same time like we did with that space shuttle probe that we just launched, we need a certain window in order to make sure it gets there when we launch it from here. And it's same with astrology. There's a window or a vibration that exists on this planet. It's like a launch site where we know it's going to be approximately 9 months from conception, so we shoot for that window. And we find ourselves, you know, we decide when we can catch a certain Saturn or a certain South Node, when we can catch the certain squares and oppositions. See, like human beings are dwarfed. Literally, we are dwarfed by the knowledge and the wisdom that exists beyond this realm. When you're in an Akashic state of consciousness, I cannot describe to you the awareness you have. astrology is something that is so natural at that state. Metaphysics and wisdom concerned with the evolution and the path of the soul is like breathing in that state. It's natural. It's not something we have to sit down with a computer and think about or discuss or hash out over. It is just a natural point of being. So when you go into the Akashic stream, and when the judgment and the reflection of the most recent lifetime is concluded, and the decision is made whether you will incarnate on Earth, then it is easy for you to design your launch point. Something that we might take a lifetime to analyze, the astrological essence of a unique charge on a human body, to understand why that person was born, when they were, to the certain family, race, color, creed, religion they were born to, certain nationality, certain city, certain neighbor, all those things that involve themselves in the complicated factors of karma to the soul of the being in the Akashic stream is like second sight. It's no problem. It's totally embraced. So for us, it's complicated to think about and figure out. That's why when we try to figure this out astrologically and metaphysically, we are plugging into a natural impulse, a natural sense, which our higher self truly is. And the higher self sitting there, every time we get a hint or a clue as to what's going on, the higher self goes, that's right. Okay, come on. You're getting better. You're starting to figure it out now. See, like, we are struck dumb at birth for a reason. You know, this is a test. Being on Earth is a test. It is a privilege, not a right. And there is a law that governs us being here if we want to participate, the law of karma. So when you make mistakes, and if you don't focus on spiritual things and on selfless and compassionate endeavors, then you are subject to coming back here and repeating this experience over and over again until you finally get it right. And that is how we as an essence, as a being, as a tentacle of the God force, as a terminal of the God force, that is how we promote growth. And that is how we become creative, which is really what eternity is all about. It is creativity. And that's how we do it. We become creative by learning this lesson, the difference between good and evil, positive and negative, selfishness and selflessness, ego and oneness with all. And we understand these differences, and that way the whole will benefit. And that's what the eternity is all about. So, you know, when you go into this soul review, your higher self knows exactly the window it needs. I mean, I almost remember that when I finished my last lifetime, which was probably around 1945, I knew my window was August of 48, so I knew I had to get involved in a family that would conceive a baby around 1947, you know, December, November, December time, about 9 months prior to August 48. And that way I would catch all these planets I would need. And of course, I would encourage labor with my mother around that date, early in the morning, and then come out of the womb and have the umbilical cut and start breathing right at 11:21 a.m., which is something the higher self knows. The higher self is aware of options concerning cesarean or premature birth or, you know, difficulties in labor or karma with the mother that might mean a possible abortion, miscarriage, stillborn, whatever. Now, the higher self is aware of all that. And that is the window it takes for a very positive reason. Like I say, everything is perfect as far as what happens in the universe. So there's no accidents as far as the higher self is concerned, because in our evolved wisdom state, which is 1,000 times more wise than a human consciousness, maybe 1,000,000, we are completely aware of all the factors in that state. You know, I didn't think of my Scorpio moon or my Venus in Cancer in my soul state. I just knew that was the window I had to get to catch that vibration. So bingo, I was just born. Like after this lifetime, when I review this karma of this lifetime, I'm sure that I will design another window without worrying astrologically exactly what the solar arcs and the midpoints and the progressions are. My higher self will know all that. And maybe my next incarnation will be in the year 2090 in February 10th, you know, at 4 p.m. to some family in Kauai or something. And that way I will be catching a certain planetary configuration to help me experience that karma and that evolution, that growth at that particular point. Just some final comments here. The astrological effect is important because this dimension, this third dimension, and this earth plane that we live on is a dimension of what we call an illusion of separation, an illusion of uniqueness, and an illusion of conciseness, accuracy. Now, we need some kind of measurement to help separate the quality of essence that we are prior to life. I'll tell you why. Because beyond Earth, in higher realms, we are all pretty much the same. And we know it. As a being, we are one. and we are pretty much aware of that relationship, whereas it is questionable down here, and some people might doubt the oneness we have in higher realms. We feel the connection we have with all beings. It is quite obvious. So we lose a lot of the uniqueness beyond this realm. We become a lot more one the higher we get to the source. And coming down to Earth, there has to be some kind of system or some kind of vehicle or measurement or engine that disseminates and makes us different than the rest. That's where karma comes in. You know, the law of karma that was established many eons ago when this realm was first created is a wonderful law, because whereas those beings that first came into this realm didn't have much karma, they sure created fast when they were separate, when they were unique. They learned about positive and negative real fast, and that's how it all started rolling. But still, when we do come into this realm, it is interesting to note that we all feel alone, we all feel separate and apart, we feel somewhat abandoned, in a vulnerable state as a baby. And the lesson that we must learn, the spiritual lesson that we must learn, that we are all really connected, is something we can find by climbing the ladder of enlightenment, which includes astrological, metaphysical, spiritual, and psychic training, and understanding the astrology effect at birth, which designs the uniqueness and the karma and the dharma of the individual baby, the body, okay, which charges your cells from the planets out there, is so important and so intensely important in order to master and overcome this illusion of separation, to become one with the universe, and to evolve to higher realms after this lifetime. I hope that's clear. That statement was a little long and complicated.